wonderful Christmas, and I do pray that we remember Jesus Christ during that time.
Amen.
You know, even as Christians, we forget, we get caught up in the celebrations and the families and the food, and we forget about the real reason for that season, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, Doug, thank you so much for that this morning about remembering, remembrance. I got something out of it, and I appreciate it, because often I forget myself. Often I just get along and get caught up in liberty behind bars and get caught up in ministry and forget about the real reason why we're doing that. Who is the focus of liberty behind bars? Who is the focus of that? So I just thank God that God sent me here this morning to listen to your Bible study to help me to remember some of those things that I need to be in remembrance of. And Miss Teresa, nobody, I mean, you're singing this. I mean, how can you beat that? My goodness, I mean, you want to get in the spirit. You want God to open up a service. Just put her up there with that guitar and just let her go to town, you know? And the Holy Ghost will start working in the hearts. If not, it's because you have a hard heart. The reality is you have a hard heart and a stiff neck. If a service such as your Sunday school and her singing can't move you, then the problem is not with your service or with the singing. The problem is with your heart. It's with your neck. It's the stiffness, the hardness of it. You've allowed the world, you've allowed your situations, you've allowed things to come in there and take place. Why do you come to church? What's your focus to come into church this morning? What are you here to get out of? Are you here because your parents want you to sit here in church? I'm talking to Luke and Autumn as well. Are you here because, look, my kids aren't beyond that stuff. Okay, because they're in a home with a preacher, because they're in a home with a man who runs a ministry, doesn't mean my kids beyond anything that can happen to those worldly kids. It's the way it is. And so I challenge often my children, what is your purpose for coming to church? You know, one of my rules is if you live in my house, I don't care what age you are, you're coming to church. But why are you coming to church? Is it because of that rule? You know, why do we come to church on Sundays? What do we want to get out of church? What is it that we come here for? We go to the doctors and we go to the hospital because we're sick and we need help. Well, that's what we come to church for. We're still sick. We need help. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that stuff goes out the door and it just goes away. No. We still need help. And so we come in here and expect God to show up. Why is he going to show up? Is it because of Dale and Lori? Or is it because of Brother Doug or Teresa singing? No. Number one, it's because we're glorifying him and preaching the word. It's why God shows up. It's not about who's standing behind this pulpit. It's about them preaching the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what do we come in here for? Do we expect God to show up on Sundays? So many people become hard towards the things of God. They become hard towards coming to church because they no longer expect God to show up in church. If it's not this person, or if it's not that, or if it's not going this way, they just see, well, you know, things in my life are terrible, so God must not show up in church anymore. Do you realize that God showing up is not based on your circumstances? God is God, and he's going to show up where this Bible is preached. The problem is most people don't have ears to hear. They've allowed the hardness of things, they've allowed that foreskin to come back into their ears and that stuff to come back on their hearts when God has been trying to chip that stuff away. Well, thank God for his mercy in a new year. How about it? We have a new year to walk with the Lord. I don't turn over a new leaf. I didn't make these promises that I'm going to start these new things. But I did, you know what? I brought to remembrance some things that worked in my life. Back in the past days of my Christianity, because of the busyness and those things that I went through, I said, Lord, what has happened? How come I'm not at your feet anymore like I ought to be? But you know what? God showed me, because I'm covered about with so much business. I'm covered about with doing ministry work that I've forgotten to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. I haven't had a chance to get there. And this year I said, Lord, I long more than anything to be at your feet, Jesus, because I need to hear what you have to say. And so, God help us this year that we can be at the feet of Jesus Christ. And, And that our prayers will change from what we want all the time and what we want God to answer and how we want God to... Why don't we just get there and get to a Brother Doug and be able to lay our head on the Savior's chest and be able to hear his heartbeat? Why don't we get at the feet of Jesus Christ and humble ourselves before Almighty God and put our circumstances out of the way? Because circumstances are always in the way between us and Christ. Because we have forgotten to remember how big God really is. We put God in this little box, and this is who he is. Yeah, he's real big when things are going well. But then all of a sudden, when our troubles come up in our life, he shrinks that big. All of a sudden, he can't help people out of things. He can't deliver them from things. He can't get them through things. Oh, that's not the God I serve. But I sure treat him that way. Well, anyway, let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to talk about a doctrine that I believe today is not preached on much, and it ought to be preached on, because we're going to see here as we go through these verses that Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, they preached on these things that ought to be preached on. And churches today hate a couple words. They hate some things that are being preached today, but God requires these things in our life. Even after being born again, God still requires these things in our life. But churches have come to the point now where they just skip everything that God has required and they do what man wants them to do. Brother, we were talking about that this morning, Shane, how everybody wants you to follow along with what man says. Go ahead and just skip what God said. Let's just go ahead and put out there what man says. I care less what man has to say. If you don't know me by now, you'll know me very quickly that I can care less of what man has to say. I'm more concerned about what this King James Bible has to say. I'm more concerned about what God has to say than I can care less about what some man in some college can teach. I didn't go to college to learn my Bible. I sat down with the Holy Ghost of God, and I sat down in the church, and God taught me Bible. It's what the Bible says. He's the one who teaches us all things. We have an unction from the Holy One who will teach us all things. Now, I'm not saying God didn't give some man some wisdom to teach us some things, but man, I tell you what, when it takes preeminence over our Bible, when it takes preeminence over God, there's something wrong. It ought to not be that. Well, Matthew chapter 3, look what it says here. In verse 1 in Matthew 3, it says, in those days, came John the Baptist preaching. You notice there, he wasn't teaching at this point. John the Baptist had a message that he was going to preach to some people. And it says here, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying in verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, repent ye. That's plural. That means he's talking to everybody. You know, God wrote this in the Bible because he expects us to repent. Today, people do not repent from those things that they continue. They continue to go on and live the same way that they've always done. And God says here, repent ye, for the kingdom of God. Look, the kingdom of God is closer today than it's ever been. And people are just playing. They're playing church. They're playing religion. And God says, look, we need to be going out there to tell people to repent, to believe and repent, to turn from your ways to God's ways. I think I got it written down here, verse 10. No, that's not it. Let me see. I'm in the wrong chapter. But here he says, I just want you to realize that I get ahead of myself. But I want you to realize here, John's first message was about what? Repenting. That's the very first thing that comes out of his mouth in his ministry. Well, let's see what we got up here. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I mean, we hang these things in our church, and we put them around, and we got little signs on our bumper that says repent and all, but nobody's teaching it anymore. Nobody's telling people that they have to repent. That's a requirement of God. It's a change of mind. And it's not only a change of mind, because you're going to see here, it's also a change of ways. Look, when your minds change and your hearts change, your ways of living changes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible, and most people misquote it, In John chapter 8 and verse 32 and verse 36, it says, and you'll know the truth. And most people say the truth will set you free. That's a lie. It's not what your King James Bible says. The Bible says it'll make you free. Is there a difference between that word set and made? Yes, there is, okay? My glasses are already in existence. That means I can set them anywhere that I want. But in order to be made or make means it did not exist until that very moment it was made. And that's what Jesus Christ promises. He promises that salvation, when you know that truth, when that truth is on the inward parts, he'll make you into something that you've never been before. Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 1, I believe it is, it says that Jesus Christ was made sin for us in 5:21. He was made sin for us. He wasn't sent to be sin for us. He was made sin for us. Why? Because he became something that he never was. And here, the Bible says that we're made free. That means we have become something that we've never been. When a person repents, that person that you now see is not the same person that they've been. Why? Because they now have Christ inside of them. And when Christ is inside of them, guess what happens? Things are going to change. They don't stay the same. Jail, prison, mental hospitals, rehab always set me free. Why? Because they put me out there with the same heart. When Jesus Christ steps in, when you repent, you change your mind, you change your ways, it's a change of heart. I got a new heart. I got a heart that Jesus Christ said he'll put in a person. By how? Repenting. A change of mind and changing my ways. Looking at myself that the way God has seen me and seeing myself exactly for what he has seen me as and coming under that Holy Ghost conviction when I see myself under God's laws, guilty. You know what that made me do? Not stay the same. It made me turn. It made me think, my goodness, Lord, I'm sorry for being a rebel against you. I'm sorry for being a rebel against your word. And it made me repent. And guess what? I turned my ways. I turned my desires and my heart changed.
Amen.
Got a new life. I didn't just say this man's Jesus' name and all of a sudden everything, no, man, my whole life changed. I didn't just say it anymore. I lived it. I didn't have a choice. Why? Because I have Jesus in me. No longer about my purpose. It's about his. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Let's go on here. I want you to see Jesus Christ, one of his first sermons that he preaches here on the mountain in Matthew chapter 4. And look what he says in verse 17. 4:17, it says, from this time, Jesus began to preach. Again, he's preaching here. Why? There's the foolishness of preaching. Look at preaching. The way what I'm doing now is what Jesus Christ and John would have done. It would have been a loud voice going out there. It would have been a preaching that went out there because God says it's the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, I'll tell you now, if you don't like a loud preacher, you're sure not going to like it in heaven. Because you know what they're doing? All they're doing is shouting up there and giving glory to God. You mean to tell me those 420 elders that are sitting at the throne of God singing every day and day and night, holy, 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 you don't think that's loud? Get used to it on earth, I'm telling you now. Because it's going to be it's going to be a showdown. But look what he says here in 17. For that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, when he began to preach, when he began that ministry, John and him both preached repentance. There's something important to that today, but it's not out there. It's not being preached. How many churches have we sat in over the last couple of years? Tell me one message that you know of somebody ever preached repentance to those people. Nobody. Nobody. Yet Jesus Christ requires repentance. Except ye. That means everybody. Repent. Ye. That means everybody shall all likewise perish. A person will come to repentance when they come under Holy Ghost conviction. But yet people aren't taught that anymore. If I go into the jail and say, does anybody know what repentance is? Not a one of them raises their hand because not a one of them can tell me what it is. So what we have to go in there and do, Mr. Reese, we have to go in there and teach them things that we used to once stand on. Why? We have forgotten those things. We do not have them in remembrance anymore. Look, if you're saved in here today, it doesn't mean that your life of repentance has stopped.
Yes. You still got to repent to God for those things that you do. You can't tell me you don't think wrong. You can't tell me to go out there and handle things wrong. That's repentance, when you realize, my goodness, God, that's not how you want me to do things. I'm sorry for doing it that way. I have to repent. But here's the thing is we've gotten too lax in telling God we're sorry. I tell my family, don't tell me you're sorry because you're not going to change. You can tell me you're sorry when you're really, with your heart, are going to try to change. Don't tell God you're sorry and keep doing the same things over and over again. Don't tell God you're sorry and keep thinking the same way. Don't tell God you're sorry and keep handling the situation your own way. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you realize what you're doing against God. And you realize that He's not happy with that thing. So many people are on depression medicines and is this being recorded?
No.
Okay. You're recording it? We just had a man who I love dearly, and his son just committed suicide. He's a preacher. Put a gun in his mouth. Marine, special FBI agent, grew up in church, and I mean a good Bible-believing church. Because kids that grow up in church think they're immune to what's out there. God requires repentance. And I'm going to tell you now, there's not a person in this room, if you have not repented, you need to repent. You need to get on your face to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just never knew that. I never realized that I needed to do that. I can't carry my kids, Doug. I can't carry my kids on my repentance, on my salvation, on my belief. I can't carry my kids on that. They got to get to Jesus Christ on their own. And I'm telling you, young people, today, if you don't have that, you better get to Jesus Christ. And look what he says here. I want you to see in verse 19. God gives us, brother, like you said this morning, God gives us. What is repentance? Well, look at verse 19. After they repented, it says this, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And guess what they did? In verse 20, and straightway left they their nets and followed him. Why? They had a change of mind. They had a change of heart, and they changed their direction. They dropped everything that they used to be and left and now started following Christ. That is repentance. Repentance doesn't leave you doing the same things that you've always done. It's a change of lifestyle. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It changes your desires. It changes everything. When Christ comes in and lives in that person, it all changes. But Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, preached repentance. Except ye all likewise repent. Except ye all repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That means perish means you're going to die unless you repent. People today aren't taught that, man. Well, let me show you another one. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 2. Part of Peter's first sermon that he preached to the church, the first church, we're going to see here now, Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Look what he says here. 2:38, and he says this. And then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter, here, at the first church after Pentecost, he's preaching, and he goes through and he explains everything about David and who God was and how the prophets killed and how Jesus Christ was the Messiah. The very next thing he comes in with is repent. Change your mind on what you used to think about God. Change your mind on what you used to think about the religious works. Change your mind on what you used to think about the laws of God and repent and turn to Jesus Christ and be baptized. Baptism is not salvation. Man, I'm working with somebody right now that just cannot let go of baptism being salvation. Well, I've been baptized. How many times does she keep saying? I've been baptized. How many times ago? I'm sorry. I said, baptism does not mean salvation, okay? I said, see my wedding ring? She goes, yes. I said, is that my marriage? She goes, well, no. I said, it's a symbol of my marriage. I said, that's what baptism is. Baptism is a sign, an outward sign, a public announcement that we have been saved and born again. That we died and been raised again with Christ. That's what baptism is after salvation. After you. Well, Peter didn't say, I'll get baptized, then repent. So repent and be baptized. Why? Because it requires, God requires repentance in our life. Even after we're saved, he wants a change of mind and a change of heart. My goodness, how is the world ever supposed to tell us apart if we don't repent? How are they ever going to tell us apart if we live the same way that they live, if we do the same things that they do? I mean, look at, man, we can go out here. I've proved it to my family over and over again. We can go out here and we can live in this world and not be part of this world. I don't have to do the things that they do. We can go out there. We have a good time. We have a good time in the Lord. We have a good time in Jesus Christ. No matter where we go, we always try to keep Jesus Christ and the Bible in the forefront. Why? Because our thoughts can wander. Our ways can wander. We have to be careful how we're doing things and what we're talking about. What am I feeding my children? Am I feeding them more of the world or more than Jesus Christ in that Bible? My son's out there in college. You all know that. He's out there in the world now. He's getting a taste of what it is. He's getting a taste of the filth. The complete filth. Even working around religious people in a religious establishment, it's filth. It's vile. It's disgusting. Why? Because those people could care less about Jesus. It's just a religion to them. It hasn't changed them one inkling. It's just a religious establishment. And they like to put that out there. But you know what it did for them? Nothing. Why? Because there's no repentance. That's what it is today, Doug. Church pews are full of religious people without repentance. And they think that it's going to help them. They think that it's going to deliver them. And it will not. You know when I quit smoking? You know when I quit drinking? You know when I quit being a gang member? You know when I quit hating my wife? You know when I quit hating God? You know when I quit hating my mother? When I repented. When I came to Jesus Christ for salvation. And I saw those things that they were against God. Not what I did against man. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. What is it? Godly sorrow. Those things that you've done against God. When you realize that you're doing those things against God. And it breaks your heart. It brings you to a place of contrition. What is that place of contrition? Sorrow. An absolute sorrow. You know what happened the day I got saved? I became to a sorrow in my life that I never came to. I came to a place where I realized what I was doing against God. What I was doing against His Word. And it broke my heart. I always tried to come to God being sorrowful for what I did against the world. Being sorrowful, brother, for what I did against society. Being sorrowful for what, that's not what God had against me. What He had against me is what I was doing against Him. But that required repentance. That required a belief for me to be able to finally see what I am in God's eyes. Or else I would have continued on doing drugs. I would have continued on with the smoking and the drinking. But let me, those are just the outward things. God cleared up the inward things. What are most people doing today, Doug? They're trying to change the outward and leaving the inward the same as it's always been. That's not how it works. God, where does God want the truth? On the inward parts. And when that truth gets out in the inward parts, and we get Jesus Christ and we repent, when we see that, when our minds are completely changed, and what we've been doing is completely wrong, it's against God, then it starts changing on the outward. This here does not mean that I'm saved. People often say, well, you know, look, he's wearing a suit and tie, right? That's what they used to say. Well, he's looking at the suit. That must be, no, that means nothing. So, you know how many, sister, do you know how many lost people are standing behind a pulpit this morning preaching? I can name a bunch of them right now. Just because people make, look, they say this, let me make it clear. I'm like, people hate this when I say it, but you know how I feel about it. A profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. How many professions did we make? How many times did we get baptized, my love? Why? Just doing it in the flesh. Just doing it without repentance, Dominic. We weren't doing it with any kind of repentance in our life whatsoever. There was a pastor now. We wanted to show him, look what we're doing. Look what we're doing. And that was never, look at that. Doing it for your pastor, doing it for a deacon, doing it for a family member, that's only going to get you burnt in hell. It's when a person realizes what they are in God's eyes. And it brings them to a place of what the Bible calls godly sorrow. that they will repent. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. You know why people aren't getting saved? Because they've never been brought to a place of godly sorrow. They've never been brought to a place where Psalm 51:17 calls it contrition. Where they really realize what they've done against God. It's a matter of what we've done against God. It's not a matter of how good we lived in society. It's not a matter of how much tax-paying and law-abiding citizens we've been. It's not about Dale Morey and he's been a gang member and a drug addict and a this and a, that's not what it is. It's about what we've done against God. It's about what caused Jesus Christ to have to go on the cross. We've lost sight of all that. Why? Because all we're doing and thinking about is, well, I need some relief in my life. I need help with this and I need help with that. And God says, no, it's a matter of repentance for what you've done, that God had to go to a cross to die for you. I'm just saying this, religion never changed me. But boy, it sure made me look good. I talk differently. I dress differently. Things were different in my life when I practiced religion. But it never brought the inward peace on the inward parts. It never brought truth in there. It never could change those things on the inside. It could never change that bitterness. It could never change that hatred. The hatred that I had against my mother. Oh, man. You know what? God says, you have to honor that. I said, Lord, I'll never honor such a wicked woman as her. And God said, yeah, you will. That's repentance. You got somebody in your life you think you can't do that to, but you don't trust your God. You're not repentant. You're not willing to see it God's way. God never gives us an excuse. Doug, I couldn't stand before a holy God and say, God, the reason I am today the way I am is because that man molested me. You know that would make me bust hell wide open. Why? Because I can't hold my sin nature and my sins and those things that I've done. I cannot attribute it to that man's account. God's going to hold me responsible for what I did. But that's not how people see it today. Oh, it's the blame game. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. And I have I got a lot of people I can blame. But I remember that day when God showed me, Dale, for what you've done. For what you've done. And you know what happened? God took care of all those hurtful things, all that hatred, all that bitterness that I had against that man, that I had against my mother. When I finally came to that place of contrition and realized that I was doing these things my own because I hated God. Because I didn't want nothing to do with God. Because I lived a life contrary to God. When I came to that realization, that it wasn't what that man did to me. It wasn't because of what my mother did to me. Because I became of age when I became started making decisions myself. I didn't have to turn that way. But I chose to. Why? Because I got a sin nature. And those things that were done to me, all it was fuel added to a fire that was already there called the sin nature. Those molestations and the abuse from my mother and so on, and those things that I did, those were already flames that were burning. But there was a flame that was burning even hotter than that, and that's called my sin nature. I was still accountable for my sin nature. No matter how old I got, no matter what age it was, if I were to close my eyes in death, I would have had to face the judgment of God for what I've done.
Mercy.
But then God, in his mercy, when I repented, Brother Doug, when I finally believed in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, and the gospel, the good news, in spite of everything that I've done, the good news, that Jesus Christ would still die for me, his enemy. I don't know how you think, thought of yourself, but I was an enemy of God. And I proudly lived as an enemy of God. And not when I became a good boy, not when I was playing religion did Christ die for me, but when I was his enemy, he died for me. You know what that changed my heart?
Amen.
It changed my life, and I came to a place of repentance, and guess what? Because of that, God was able to work things out of my life where I no longer hold that thing towards that man who done that. Brother Doug, if I ran into that man who molested me at that young boy, do you know what I would do to him today? I can tell you what I would have done to him. That I would hope that I could preach Jesus Christ that he might get saved. I don't want to see him burn in hell. I don't want to see him die and go to that place. How about my mother? Oh God, my mother's getting ready to move into my house. How about that? You want to talk about repentance? Why? Because God changed my mind and my heart on things. You have to understand that. That's what God does. And it requires that in your life. You're not going to just go out here and play religion, come in here and think that things are all good and go back out there and live any way you want. That's not how God functions. If you don't believe me, you read your Bible. The problem is most people aren't reading their Bible today. They have no clue who this God is that I'm preaching. Refuse to read this book. And how are you gonna, you have a religious guy? Here's where I often ask the prisoners and said, why is my Jesus changing me and your Jesus isn't changing you? Do you have the Jesus of the King James Bible, or do you have that religious Jesus that just leaves you the same person doing those things you've always done? As a Christian, Joe, God has changed me more as a Christian than I ever was as a lost person. He's brought things up. He's done things in my life. He's removed things. He's required me to repent of things that I never even thought of. I haven't thought of in so many years. And then all of a sudden, this stuff comes up in my mind. I go, oh, my good Lord, what in the world? God says, look, I allowed you to think that for so long. I allowed you to do that for so long. Today, no more. But God, why? And he requires me at that point to say, you know what, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. And I'm going to change that in my life. I'm going to work. I'll get, you know what that's called? Repentance. For a believer. But most people aren't doing that today.
Well, to repent, you know, it means to review or to observe ourselves, our actions, and feel contrition, to feel sorrow or regret, to acknowledge one's sinfulness by showing sincere remorse and changing one's mind and turning from it. Let me just say that often people mistake because they come up here and they get this emotion or turmoil that's salvation. They get up and a little while later they wonder, well, where did all that go? 2-3 days, they go, man, where did all that go? You might have missed it. Here's what I warn people today. Watch out for emotionalism. I thank God for you, Miss Teresa, because you don't use your music to emotionally stir somebody. And musicians out there today, Christian ones, even ones that we agree with, even ones that we would listen to, who come up and they're starting to and take the place of preaching and let's play 6 hours of music. Man, what were we in Texas? How many hours of music did they play, Amy? And how many hundreds of people kept coming up to the altar? And how many lives you think were changed? Emotionalism. People get emotionally stirred up, and they take that emotionalism for repentance. They take that emotionalism. Now, I'm not saying there may not be a feeling when you realize what you've done against God. There may not be some emotionalism attached to that, but not to the point where you're seeing people today that's over and over and over, and you go, oh, my goodness, and then, a week or two later, where are those people? Where did they go? You look at the church house and you look at the people in the pews and you go, man, that person, you know what hurts lost people so much? They see a person do that, go back to their seat and never change a wink in their eye, never change anything in their life. That destroys lost people more than anything. But that's what it's become. That's what churches become. God requires more than that. Repentance is hard. People don't want to repent. Well, I showed you. Let's just read here one more. Go with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, look at verse 20. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. Repentance. So important, my friends. Believe, repentance unto salvation. It's not a work. The work that God does in us. Let me tell you this. Repentance is not a work. It's not us earning our way. It's the Holy Ghost of God bringing conviction on us that helps us to change our mind. It's a work of God that he does in a person.
I would have never come under repentance, but I would never come under conviction unless the Holy Ghost would have came in and brought me to that. It reproved me. He showed me my sin. He showed me my unbelief. He showed me what I was. And because of that, I became under a heavy conviction, and that's where repentance comes from. It's not a work that a person does. It's a choice that we make. It's an understanding that we have.
Well, I want to make that clear. I want to make it clear. We don't work for salvation. Brother Doug said that this morning. It's not a work that we do. It's a work that Jesus Christ has already done. And so when it says it here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, he says this. I think it's 26:20, right? That's what I said. Yeah, Acts 26:20. He says this. But he showed first unto of Damascus and Jerusalem and through all the coast of Judea and the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. You see what happened there? They repented and turned to God. Throughout your entire Bible, you're going to see when repentance comes, when a person comes to that place of repentance, they don't turn away from God like most people who make professions today. You can't even get them to come to church anymore. They didn't turn to God. When I got saved, nobody had to tell me to come to church. You know, nobody had to come pick me up. Brother Doug, do you realize that when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to read my Bible? Do you know when I got saved, nobody had to tell me that I should pray? Sister, I didn't run from church. I ran to it. There was no better place than I needed to be but to be in the church house. You know what happened? After me and my wife got saved, church wasn't something we'd done anymore. Church became who we are. This is not hard for me to get up on Sunday mornings and come to church. It's not a problem for me to come to Sunday school, Doug. It's not a problem for me to say, oh, I can't believe I got to go to church. Tell me in the last 12 years, Luke and Autumn, when have you ever heard me complain about coming to church? Ever! I don't care if I had back surgery, Doug. If I could walk and I had all these things hanging off me, I was in the house of God. Why? Because that's where sick people belong. I'm going to go have surgery on Friday. I'm going to have some stuff done to my back. You think I'll be in church Sunday? Yes. You know what the problem is today? People are playing church. It's something they do. They're used to doing it. So that's what they do. They go to church. I'll tell you now, when you repent from that nonsense, it'll change your whole life.
Yeah. Amen.
Church ain't something I do. It's my life. It's who we are. Oh, well, you just go there because you're a preacher. Doug, did I not just sit under your message? I don't have a problem going to church. Why? Because it's not about my way anymore. It's about God's way. How do we get help? How do we get help from God? Well, we get help from God being in church, sitting underneath the preaching, teaching in the Bible. How else do we get help? Opening that Bible at your house. You mean to tell me people think that it's okay to come to church and have that Bible open, they don't do it at home? Don't just do your little devotional and think that you're okay. Get in there and find out who God is. Find out what He requires from people. Find out why things maybe aren't changing in your life. The Bible says examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Find that out. If there's doubts going on through your heart and your mind, find out why am I doubting? You know, ask God, why am I not changing? Why have I not come to that place of repentance? Why is my heart still the same? Why do I still talk the same? Why do I still say the same things and do the same thing? Why don't I have this difference in my life? There's a reason why it's there. Number one, you may be lost. Don't be afraid to be lost. Go find out what's going to happen. Number one, if you examine yourself and find out that Jesus Christ is not there at the end of that examination, He's waiting for you to come. He says, come. Number two, if you do an examination and find out that Jesus is there, then get right with God. But please, don't let this become a religion. Don't just let this become a game. Too many people, there's too many souls out there today. And I'm going to say this in my closing, I'm going to walk right down. There's too many people who are right here for us to be playing games. All they're going to do is take one step and they're going to turn to hell. What if you're the last Jesus Christ somebody ever sees? What Jesus are they going to see? Your religious Jesus? Well, the Jesus of this Bible. That's a reality. You know why my mother's moving to my house, Brother Doug, though she still abuses me? My mother still abuses me. You go, why is she moving to your house? Because the Lord put it on my heart that she just may get saved through this. Because she's been alone for 22 years. And nobody. How much family comes to visit my mother, Amy? How many friends does my mother have? None. She's chased them all away. And you know what the Lord said? Dale, bring her into your home. That she might see Jesus Christ in your home. And she might get saved. How far are you willing to go? And she's going to abuse. I'm telling you right now, my mother's going to abuse me. How far are you willing to go? I don't want my mother in hell, brother. Joe, I don't want my mother in hell. You understand? I don't want my mother in hell. And so therefore, God has required me to bring my mother to my house. That she might see Christ, brother. I'm done.